Hello everyone, it's George Minor. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. This is talking about house building in South Britain. His Majesty's government has this house building target, but methinks it only applies to England and not to the United Kingdom. Well, the Labour government was ushered into office on the 5th of July last year, and the Deputy Prime Minister, Angela Rayner, she was given a special responsibility for building more homes. So net new homes per year, 300,000. Net, I think they have to take into account homes which are demolished for whatever reason. So that'd be 1.5 million homes over the next 5 years. Now, I think a home can be a flat. Could it be a studio flat? Could it be a 5-bedroom house? Do we have any distinction in the size of the housing units? Because then that's misleading, because you could build lots of small ones which are really only suitable for two people max. But that would count as much as a house with 5 bedrooms, which could easily house 10 people, and things like that. And also where they are. All right, we'll go by their target. So that's 300,000 per annum if they're going to build them at an even rate. And they're going to miss the target, and not just that, miss it by a country mile. And Katemin Badenoch, very soon after she became leader of His Majesty's most loyal opposition, skewered Miss Rayner on this one in the House of Commons, saying how she felt sorry for Miss Rayner, who'd been set up to fail. And I've never seen Angela Rayner looking embarrassed, but she was giving this imbecilic grin, and she's deeply, deeply thick. But even she perceived this is a car crash in slow motion. They are never going to achieve their targets or anything even remotely approaching their targets. So the one thing is, one shouldn't set targets which are overambitious, things that can actually be attained. I mean, people rarely hit the target. If they're like 90%, that's pretty good. But they're going to be more like 50%. So, and could they not fess up now and revise a target or do something to achieve it? So in the first year in office, which is just expired, there was a net 186,600 new homes, meant to be 300,000. It was not even two-thirds of that. This is actually, they've actually reduced the number of houses built. Now, the government's not usually building them, the private companies doing, but they're trying to provide the legislative framework, anything else necessary to make sure this is hit. That's another possibility. Should there be some sort of government department that actually hires the architects, the engineers, the construction workers, buys the cement, the bricks, and whatever, and builds them? I mean, I don't know, but you could examine that option if that's more likely to work. But they don't appear to have even pondered that one, despite the supposed so-called Great British Railway Company, which is already doing badly. Not the privatization was a resounding success. It was patchy, some ways good, some ways bad. And I'm not in principle opposed to renationalization of railways. If you can prove it's necessary, if you can prove it's cost effective, it'll deliver a more punctual service at a reasonable price and safe and all the rest of it, I'm open to persuasion. So, I'm not a free market fundamentalist. Right wing though I am, I'm not like some crazy capitalist, not that right wing economically. But going back to what she said, she's imposed these targets on councils, and of course she can do so in a partisan way by imposing completely impossible ones on Conservative councils. There are not that many of those anymore, and more realistic ones on Labour councils. So London would have to increase its house building eightfold to achieve this. Eightfold, can you believe that? Eightfold. Now, I know it is a Labour city. There's something like, is it 72 constituencies in London, and Labour's got about 59 of them. Plus, they've got the Mayor of London. They've got a bare majority in the London Assembly, but partly because Starmer hates Sadiq Khan. There's an ideological, well, actually, eye to eye meeting of minds, but it's a personality clash. And Sadiq Khan is on maneuvers. He's been publicly undermining Starmer, castigating him, ripping, tearing strips out of him about various things like Gaza, because he knows that's a nod to the left. He's playing to the gallery. This goes down well with Labour grassroots. And he obviously wants to ease Starmer out of his job and come in as Prime Minister. Labour's got to have a non-white prime minister because the Conservatives had one. The other thing, but the thing is, Sadiq Khan is not an MP. And he can't find a safe Labour constituency to defend him. But anyway, they'd like to make Sadiq Khan a bit of a fall guy. Admittedly, it's very difficult in London because, you know, it's of the most expensive city, the most overcrowded city. Immigrants disproportionately come to London. So Labour's making it even worse by increasing illegal immigration and not legal immigration. I don't want to increase that either, but at least legal immigrants pay for themselves. Illegal ones don't, at least in the first 2 years. Okay. These local housing plans were abolished. Anyway, what is going to happen? The Section 106 agreements about providing secure, affordable housing, and so we could build development, but then we wouldn't have enough low-cost housing for low-income people. Might say that's preposterous. We'll build housing, you know, even if it's kind of a middle-income people, low-income people. At least we've still got housing. Anyway, so developers can't go ahead. So this is really delaying tens of thousands of homes. So this is interfering with the free market because providers don't commit to providing the secure housing where the profit margins are lower. So the construction costs are going up, and there is a terrible paucity of construction workers. Need up to 150,000 construction workers. Why are we sending 50% of the population to university to get 50,000 quid in debt, become out even less employable in many cases? Some graduates just say, "Well, I'll just go on the dole. I'll just be unemployment. I'll just register disabled." Or many of the most talented people, the best and brightest, the hardest working, you know what? Emigrate. I'm going to the United Arab Emirates, I'm going to Australia, whatever. The United Kingdom urgently needs more electricians, carpenters, bricklayers. So instead of intellectualizing everything, pretending everybody's academic, why don't we do a needs assessment? These are the skills that are actually needed, and therefore we'll train people in them. We don't need armies of graduates in sociology, in media studies, in whatever, in dance. Okay, some people study that, fine, honorable, but we're training for people things that they're not going to do. You know, six times more law graduates there are places available, training to be solicitors. Six times more. It's preposterous. I might have two people doing a law degree for every training place, but not six. It's ludicrous. So that's a big problem. Now, one solution is why do we have more immigration and immigrants do work in construction? Yes, but that's actually exacerbating the very problem you're trying to solve because they've got to have somewhere to live as well. We're lagging far, far behind. It's going to be an absolute humiliation for Angela Rayner. She's going to fail very badly indeed. She's already falling flat on her face. So we don't have people with the correct skill set. Now, so the modern methods of construction initiatives are not working. Some companies have gone bust. We have to find alternatives that are scalable. As you can, the company that is building 1,000 homes a year, fine, but could they go up to 10,000? And sometimes they can't increase, certainly not fast enough. So anyway, there's market forces. Homes are just so expensive. Who can afford these things? So there's obviously laws of supply and demand. So there are a small number of developers, six developers. They account for the majority of house building. So I suppose maybe just more developers doing it. So it's almost like a cartel. So construction costs are very high, partly materials because of inflation. By putting up national insurance contributions, it made it even more expensive to employ people. The mortgage market is very tight. Investors are very circumspect. So it's a perfect storm. So it's just unaffordable. Anyway, so yeah, experts say that 500,000 homes a year might not even be enough. So the United Kingdom has not kept pace with European Union countries in building enough houses, is really lagged behind in the 1980s. Angela Rayner, in her drive to build more homes, has managed to build fewer homes than before. It's got worse. Anyway, so we've got to think about these homes. You build a house, fine. What we've got to think is there the road capacity, is there the rail capacity, are there enough school places, can the general practitioner take more patients, are there amenities, parks, shops, and so on. Some of these estates are built without that in mind. So there are self-made or custom-made schemes, and these are really palsied by what the local council is doing, saying, "Oh, they don't meet the legal requirements, so alternative supply routes are blocked." So there are funding pots which are not being used. So there's the £4.2 million housing infrastructure fund, a lot of which isn't spent. So site delivery is bad. So it's really inefficient. So for all sorts of reasons, it's failing. The government says we're going to spend £39 billion on affordable housing. So we need to change the planning system. We need to make sure we have the workers who can actually build the houses. We need to incentivize the developers to do what they need to do, and so on. Now, much the same would pertain in West Britain, in North Britain, in Mid Britain, and South Britain. You know, I say we, I'm not English, but I do reside in South Britain. I identify with Ireland and Great Britain. the British Isles as a whole. So that's it. And no, I don't have a perfect solution, but I would say bunk up. Get away from the idea that every child has his or her own bedroom, two siblings, even three siblings share, or extended families. This aunt and her husband, that aunt and her husband, they've each got two children. That's a three-bedroom house. So, this couple in that bedroom, that couple in that bedroom, and four children in one bedroom, something like that. Multi-generational households would solve things. Single adults, have two or three men sharing a bedroom, two or three women sharing a bedroom, and so on. And that'll cut costs as well. And they have more money for us, but we could relax the rules on housing multiple occupation as well. And there are lots of empty homes, but the thing is, they're in plagues of ex-mining villages in County Durham and so on. Look on Zoopla, a two-bedroom house for 20,000 quid. I've considered moving there myself. But there aren't the jobs to go there. Obviously, increasingly people are working online. One good thing that they're doing is they're going to move ministries out of London, saying, you're going to Hartlepool, you're going to wherever, Inverness, you're going to Preston or whatever, to the less wealthy places, and more money to be spent there. The whole UK pays tax, mostly spent in London. Civil servants don't need to be physically present. Obviously, I think Foreign Office, maybe Ministry of Justice, Home Office. Who else needs to be physically present? The Treasury to have more in-person meetings. But, Department of Transport, they can be anywhere. Department of Education, they can be anywhere. There's such a thing as the internet to have online meetings, fewer in-person meetings. No, if we had no civil servants flying around, especially internal flights, no, we should have no communications officers, none, no special advisors. That'd save money. More civil servants. Conservative men slim it down, increase the civil service. Labour men slim down the civil service, increase the civil service. It's shocking. And who's bearing the burden? A crushing tax burden on people like me in the private sector, self-employed people who are actually keeping the economy going and get less and less whilst paying more and more. It's dreadful. So Angela Rayner is really, really stupid. It's failing. They need to change things drastically. There's absolutely no sign she's taking these lessons on board, even though even she realizes she's failing by miles. I don't want it to fail. I would like there to be more housing. I would like housing to be affordable, but it ain't going to happen. Although this suits householders, knowing the value of your house goes up every day. I mean, you can think even a one-bedroom flat in the Home Counties would go up like £10 a day. Right. Thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate on PayPal, georgecallan790@gmail.com. Goodbye.